upon the help of the Holy Spirit. I would direct your minds this afternoon to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. And we will read three verses, first commencing verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And the words that have settled, shall I say, more powerfully upon my spirit is found in the 29th verse. Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. We have certain days in history that stand out before any other important dates, for the most important days known in history, shall I say, first in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also that day when he died upon the cross, and this day that we have been reading a little of this afternoon, the day of his resurrection. And also we have read in the closing of this chapter when this dear man returned unto heaven. And there's another day that faces us, and that is the day of his coming. And to hear the word, which we sincerely hope and pray, we might hear, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for thee. You may have thought it strange that one should read this portion this afternoon of the resurrection of Christ. I've often thought, dear friends, even in the day of the birth of Christ, how little do we hear of it apart when we, until we come to the season, Christmas. We hear more, and rightly so, of the day of his death. I think we can follow somewhat with the Apostle Paul when he said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the date. Crucifixion. Opening of a channel of his precious blood to cleanse. And then there's this day, as we've spoken, have read of, the day of his resurrection. Dear Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He was for what faith was given to the dear man and many others in those days of his who could believe, take hold of it, and from the very heart believe that Jesus would redeem Israel. Well, we have read as a text, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. When reading this verse, I thought, oh, how blessed to have been there, to have heard the voice of Jesus. And now Jesus expounded unto those two on the way to Emmaus as he walked with them, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Nothing was left undone. Everything, as it were, was spoken unto those dear men on the way to Emmaus from the very lips of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. We hear sometimes good men, capable men, able men in preaching the gospel. But what are they compared with the Lord Jesus Christ? He expounded unto them. He expounded in all the scriptures. Nothing left them done. Oh, there's been a time when I felt, oh, to be in there, to be in among those two on the way to Emmaus, and to have heard from the very lips of the Lord Jesus how he preached, I say, for truly he preached in this sermon, in this unto these two on the way to Emmaus. What a sermon it must have been. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, think of it, the things concerning himself, Jesus. Oh, to have had it left on record, dear friends. We know the Lord spake many things respecting himself when he was here, and we are thankful it is somewhat left on record. But to have had this blessed sermon, I believe that would be read in every course of truth, would it not? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. We try to preach Christ and his way, his life, and those things he passed through, but we fail. He did not. Oh, it's a full gospel, I'm sure. And all the scriptures concerning himself, where he was. And we have that in the 8th of Proverbs, that he is with his Father in heaven in glory. And in coming to this earth and respecting the death of Christ, and beginning at Moses, all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. It was Jesus. Jesus the first and the last. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and so on. And they drew nigh unto the village. I think we can say that they had some distance to walk together. And the conversation. What was the outcome of that conversation? Or the outcome of what the Lord was able to speak to them? He expounded. What was the outcome of that? Were his words like an idle tale? No, dear friends. No. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What was the outcome? Well, in that sweet conversation, one with the other, their hearts began to burn. As we have read, I believe, in this very, did not her heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Just a few thoughts here. What do we know of her hearts? We know something of them as being hearts of sin, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We know something of a cold heart. Well, we know something of this experience that those had on the way to Emmaus. Their heart burned. What do we know of this love of Christ? For I'm sure that the love of Christ was felt in their heart, causing that experience of heart. They burned, the heart burned within them. Dear friends, it is by the power of God. I'm quite aware of this, that if there had been any others there of the world and heard Jesus speaking, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets expounded unto them, there would be nothing out of it, nothing profitable, wouldn't know anything about their heart burning. That these two on the way to Emmaus were children of God, that had given a new heart, a new spirit, they had been blessed with grace, spiritual life. They knew something, yea, it proves to us in our reading that they knew something of the Lord Jesus Christ previously. And they talked together of these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together of reason, Jesus stood himself, drew near, and went with them. Dear friends, if we have and able to walk any distance in our pilgrimage and to feel a little nearness unto the Lord and have the word expounded to us, we shall know something of this heart burning. Yes, did not our heart burn within us? I'm sure there was a little love flowing, flowing. It was applied with power by the Spirit into their hearts. They did not regret it. They wanted this dear man to continue with them as we have read. For they wanted him, yea, what was their language? And they drew near unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would gone further, but they constrained him. Why? Because there was a real sweet communion one with the other, and their hearts had touched with the love of Christ, and they were brought to realize in some measure this was the man whom they hoped would be the Redeemer of Israel. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. I'm sure of this, dear friends. I know some of you know a little of this experience. It may be walking along even the road and having a little felt sense of his presence. Maybe in your home, in your bedroom, maybe in the field, the garden, maybe at the house of God, where he has promised to meet his people. And there's been a little communion, has there not? There's little been a little nearness unto the Lord in prayer. What's the outcome? Why, there's a feeling in your heart that is not the feeling of the world. It's a felt sense of his mercy and love toward you. And therefore, they breathe out this desire that he would continue with them. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they. There's a constraining power. The constraining power is in the Lord Jesus. And I have no doubt that the constraining power from Christ in the heart of those two caused them to ask him to remain with them and abide with us. Now, just a few thoughts on this constraining love of Christ. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. But this constraining, several times in the scripture we read of this constraining power of Christ. Those disciples on the sea, when the storm arose, or shall I go back a little previous to that, when does Christ fed that great multitude with bread and the fishes and so on? And then he constrained his disciples to go over the sea. Never came a word. He constrained them to go over the water, over the sea. And it was in his constraining will that a storm arose. And it was in his constraining blessing that he met with those disciples on the water. Constraining power. Take the poor woman who came to the Pharisees' house. She wasn't invited, but it was a constraining power. Not manifest to the Pharisee, but manifested to this poor woman. I believe the Lord constrained her to come to that where he was. And by that constraining love felt in her heart, as these disciples did not her heart burn within us, cause the tears to flow, and sufficient to wash his feet? Oh, this constraining power. Now go back for a few moments in their own experience. Can you remember when there was a constraining power for you somewhat to leave the things that are of the world, the trifles of it, the things that are only of the earth of sin? Can you remember it? There's a constraining power if we differ from the world. A constraining power. I believe I could go back somewhat to those days when one was in the world venially, yet there was a constraining power to leave it. It's the power of God. And I believe, dear friends, the Lord often works in this way. Not with a great multitude of words, not with any words at all, but a constraining power. And that constraining power is caused by his love toward the poor sinner whom he is not actually speaking to, but constraining. If time permitted and one was helped and strengthened, I think we could speak of a good many whom the Lord constrained to follow him, to be brought out of the world, the things of the world, the wickedness of the world, constrain them to leave it. Yes, some of us have had idols, and the Lord has constrained us to leave those idols. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. There's a constraining power in the gospel. And that's the way I believe the Lord often brings his dear people out of the paths of sin into the paths of righteousness. He constrains us to do it. No words. There may be at times, of course there was with Saul. How the Lord spake unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. But there's a constraining power. Constraining power. Oh, the strength, dear friends, of that power of God in his love to bring poor sinners to follow him in those paths of righteousness. And And it's so, and some of us can look back to the days when we followed him in his commandments. There was a constraining power. One felt compelled to do, constrained to do, to follow the Lord. So if either of you are looking for a word, you may not get it. It may be a word to follow him, I know not, in his commandments. Come, O ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. No word spoken, but there's a constraining power in one's soul to do the Lord's will. God moves in a mysterious way, as wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us. I believe this is your desire in your home, in the morning, reading it maybe in a few words, breathe out, abide with us, Lord. And in the evening, thankfulness to him, and also again seeking his presence through the night season. Abide with us. Oh, what a solemn thing, dear friends, to go through life and not have his presence, and know nothing of him as a God, as our Saviour. But it wasn't so with these two on the way to Emmaus. They tested his love, if I might so speak, with reverence. And by that love there was a burning, and they wanted him and wanted his presence. If you come in the house of God at times, I love to meet among them now, and at his gracious feet to bow, no violence of them all. What are you asking for? Abide with us. Abide with us. So they constrained him, saying, abide with us. For it is toward evening that the day is far spent. Just a few thoughts, the latter part. And he went in to tarry with them. He went in. Two poor sinners in the presence of God Almighty, the beloved Son of the Father, the one who had died that very day upon the cross and opened the fountain of his precious blood to cleanse. And he went in. What a privilege, dear friends. What a mercy. What an honor. They must have felt it so, that this King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and the one who had just previously expounded the word to them, all the scriptures concerning himself, yet he should come under their roof, as it were. And he went in with them. Oh, I believe there's been times when you and I have felt a little presence of the Lord, not only in his house, but in our homes at times. And haven't we felt it a privilege that he should condescend to come into that dwelling place where poor sinners dwell and given a touch of his love? And he went in. Causes me to think for a moment of Mary and Martha at the death of their dear brother. And you remember Martha spake unto Mary, Mary, she said, the Master is come. The Master is come. He calleth for thee. And he went in to tarry with them. We're not told how long he tarried with them, but he made himself known to them. And as he came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took the bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. Oh, we see the wonder workings of God here. and not only having their eyes opened and that they should know him, then he vanished out of their sight. Dear friends, how little do we realize the power of God, the greatness of Jesus, the Son of God, what he did here on earth, and what he did in his last hours, as it were, of his life, in speaking, proclaiming, opening the eyes, and also breaking up bread. Now a few thoughts here, and they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." Let us be to think for a moment from this viewpoint. The day is far spent. We can say this according to the scripture that the end is coming, close at hand. The day of the world is far spent. We are told in the scriptures in the last days there will be but a remnant, haven't we come to it? And we read of awful things taking place, sinful, terrible things, and aren't those things upon us as a nation and in our world today? The day of the world is far spent. And that reminds us that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have hinted upon it this afternoon, for he will come. The day is far spent, and he will come with his angels to separate the goats from the sheep, the tares from the wheat. Oh, what a separation will be in that great day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. To hear the account of the things we've done in body and so on. The day is far spent. We know not when the Lord will come, but he has told us in the Gospels to watch. Watch. Are we obedient to that word, to that voice? Watch. Watch and pray. How often do we pray respecting that day and ask the Lord to give us grace to watch for his coming? We know not whether to be morning or evening or noon or when the cock crow and so on, but he will come. And we know this from the scriptures that the day is far, far spent. And we might just briefly also mention their nation itself. I know her nations is included in the whole world, but all the condition that we are in as a nation. Yet I believe, dear friends, that we have been more blessed in England, in their own country, nation, more than any other nations in the whole world. If we should read a little of the history of England from the beginning, we have to prove how the Lord has wonderfully blessed us as a nation, being blessed above all nations. But we know this, the day is far spent, far spent. And then I will come here. Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. Well, when we come to ourselves, And some of us were advanced in life. Many years we sit here upon earth, many Sabbaths. Many times we've sat under the truth, many sermons we have heard. Many times in and out of the house of God. Yes, but the day is far spent. We know not, dear friends, how many more days, weeks, or months, or years we have, if any, but the day is far spent. Yes. Coming to the close of it, the prayer I believe in the hymn you've just sung. Guide us, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrims through this barren land. We are weak, but thou art mighty. Hold us with thy powerful hand. Abide with us, for it is toward evening. The day is far spent. Looking back over our lives, I have to sometimes. The word comes to one's mind. To remember all the way the Lord our God hath led us these 40 years, 50, 60, 70, 80 years in the wilderness. Now, how have we spent it? Has it been made profitable spiritually? Or some of us go back, it may be in the days of youth, and still remember those paths we trod. Sin. The day is far spent. How did we spend it? Can you remember the time when there was a change wrought in your heart? I believe I can remember the time when there's a change in my heart. But even from those days, the call by grace, oh, how one often has to feel so ashamed of his profession, and of his walking and communing, conversation, and looking within the heart more than ever. There is the day being spent. Can we say, dear friend, our days here on earth are being spent in prayer, wrestling prayer? I wish we could. Though the word tells us to pray without ceasing, and to pray unto the Lord with a thankful heart, oh, how often we forget. In various ways, how is our day being spent? Spent to the honour and to the glory of God? Or has it been to our shame? Have we walked out what we profess? Some of us have professed the name of Christ now for many, many years. More than half a century. Have what walked out what he professed? The day is far spent, far spent. Oh, someone has to, sometimes we have to look back, at least I do, over my life with shame and with confusion. And still have to beg of the Lord, even with the psalmist when he said, remember not the sins of my youth. To look back, dear friends, it's good to look back, even if we have to remember. If we are reminded of our sins and our shortcomings, to be able to confess them, it's not too late, dear friends, to find forgiveness, if the Lord is pleased to give it. I know one sin, oh, many, many, many sins, that there was one sin that laid with such weight upon my spirit. So many, many years, I believe I went over 30 years with guilt upon my conscience through one sin. The day is far spent. But I remember the time when the Lord broke into my heart and gave me that forgiveness, I believe, of that particular sin. Yes. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that fear him. The day there is far spent. Let's come closer home, even to this day. The day is far spent. We're nearly in the evening of it, ere we spend. How much prayer, dear friends, has ascended into heaven? How much reading of the word? How much have we gained? How much have we prospered spiritually? How much has been spoken by the Lord into our soul, into our heart? Can we return to our homes and say, in some measure, those disciples of old, when they said, did not our heart burn within us as we walked by and talked by the way? Oh, what a mercy, when we spend a day, a Sabbath day, in the house of God, and have somewhat of this experience of the presence of God within our soul. Well, the day is far spent. It is so with this. This very day and our lives. And he took, and we read that he took bread before he left them and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Think of it. Those dear men were so favored for the Lord himself with those holy hands of his to break the bread and gave to them, and they partook of it, the bread of life. It is toward evening. Oh, what a blessing received by them on that particular evening to have the presence of their God. Jesus Christ, the one who would be crucified that very day, to have his presence, and for him, shall I say, to minister the ordinance, if I might so speak, for he broke the bread and gave to them. And their hearts burned within them. While he talked with them by the way, and while he opened to them the scripture. He still performed, as you know, a few miracles before he came to that experience as we've read in the closing of this chapter. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and carried up into heaven. I believe it was three miracles he performed from the time he spoke to those disciples on the way to Emmaus, preached to them, until he returned to his Father in glory. So, as we've read, and I feel I must leave it, dear friend. And he said unto them, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Another thought seems to come by. Is day, oh dear Philistically, is day. We can say with his day was well spent. From his birth at Bethlehem, that day to the end of the journey at Jerusalem, well spent. Nothing amiss, everything brought forth, even that great work of salvation for poor sinners. Nothing left undone. Nothing left undone. Not even at the cross, not even at the sepulchre. He is laid in the sepulchre He rose again from the dead. Everything perfect. He left, I speak here. Dear friends, everything left in the sepulchre by him in a perfect condition. Even those things that had been put upon him, the linen and so on, everything was left in order. Everything that the Lord Jesus came for upon this earth was left in order and left for the benefit of his church here on earth. Yes, well might we cry out, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is past late. Yes, his day of suffering, his days of preaching, his days of miracles, his days of healing, his days of speaking peace and comfort to many. Then that death. Yes, the day is far spent. What did he say? It is finished, and gave up the ghost. It is, the day was well spent. The day of the Lord Jesus. Nothing, as I've said, undone. That should have been, according to the Father's will, to be prepared in any way for the benefit of his church. A perfect Christ, a perfect man, a perfect blood that cleanses. Nothing, dear friends, can be said against that dear man, not by those who fear him. From the beginning to the end of his journey, from the commencement of his day to the closing, everything was out of love and the benefit of his whole church of God. Well, we have this little ordinance. I fear I'm asleep.